Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today we're going to continue to look at what John taught when he said, "Whoever is born of God overcomes the world." So let's read 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, again together. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, John has been teaching us here for quite some time about what it means to truly be saved. All of the characteristics and fruit and aspects that John has been teaching throughout this epistle are designed to be like road signs for us so that we may look honestly at ourselves to see if we are deceived about our salvation or whether we are truly in the faith. Saved people live and act and do and love as John teaches in this epistle, and lost people don't. So I beg you, dear friends, don't try to make the Bible fit your life. You're the one that's supposed to bend. You be broken. You be submissive to the Word of God. Let God's Word define for you who is and who is not saved. And if you don't measure up to what John teaches here, then instead of arguing about your own personal experiences, repent and do and become what John says here, and that will end the discussion. Now look, I don't believe that John was being hard when he wrote the words that we read in this epistle. I believe that John was dripping with God's love when he clearly defined for us what is real and what is false conversion, and what is a true believer, and what constitutes someone who is only deceived about their salvation. And here in this passage, these five verses, John gives us even more clarity about what it means to truly be saved and born from above. John says that genuine believers overcome the world. Now, what in the world does that mean? Some would say that it means that genuine believers never have a bad day, that they are so filled with God's glory that the issues of life just bounce off of them like bullets off Superman's chest. But if that were true, then surely Paul and Peter and James would not be considered saved by John, because these men suffered horribly at the hands of evil men, and for the most part, God did not deliver them from their torment. So overcoming the world does not mean that you are never troubled or that the trials of life do not affect you. So what does it mean to overcome the world? Well, to begin with, to overcome the world is certainly not to accept the lost pagan system of this fallen world. It means that as saved people, we are not to abide by the teachings of the world or to follow the world or to acquiesce to what the world says and does. To overcome the world is to be separate from the world and to live counterintuitively to what the world says. And all of that is wrapped up in the word love. So let's go back to what John himself taught about this in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Now you may remember that I taught about this section of 1 John at great length several months ago. And if you weren't listening then, you might want to get a copy of that series so you can see just what John was talking about when he said that we must not love the world. But Suffice it to say for this broadcast, and as it pertains to what we're talking about now here in 1 John 5, verses 1 through 5, that if we love the world, we cannot and we will not overcome the world. Now, also notice here that John didn't say that believers will try to overcome the world, but that they will overcome the world. So, this overcoming is not optional. It's not something that some people do while others who are equally saved choose not to do. Now, John says that part and parcel of what it means to be saved is that all saved people overcome the world. Now, there are many titles given to Christians throughout the New Testament. For example, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 7 and 2 verse 10 and 1 Timothy 6 verse 2 calls Christians believers. The Acts chapter 11, 26 and then 26 verse 28 and 1 Peter 4:16 calls believers Christians. Matthew 18 verse 3 and Ephesians 5, 1 calls them children. John 1:12, Romans 8:16, Philippians 2:15, 1 John 3:1 calls them children of God. And in other places throughout the New Testament, saved people are called children of promise, sons of the day, sons of the kingdom, friends of Jesus, brethren, sheep, saints, soldiers, witnesses, stewards, fellow citizens, light in the world, the elect, the chosen, the called, ambassadors of Christ, heirs, branches in the true vine, members of the body of Christ, living stones, the beloved of God, followers of Christ, sons of Abraham, disciples, epistles, servants, slaves, the godly, the people of God, strangers, pilgrims, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the light of the world, the salt of the earth, a city set on a hill, vessels of honor, the righteous, aliens, members of the household of God, and many other terms. And here in 1 John 5, verse 4, John calls genuine believers by another name, overcomers. So John is saying here that genuinely blood-bought saints of God are conquerors, they're victors. Now the Greek word that's used here is the word nikeo, which is used twice in verse 4 and once in verse 5, and is one of John's favorite terms to describe believers. This word is used 28 times throughout the New Testament, of which 24 of those 28 are in John's writings. Nikeo means to conquer, or to gain the victory, or to defeat the foe. And it comes from a derivative of the Greek word Nike, like the shoe company, who was a female goddess of victory who aided Zeus in his battle against the Titans. That's amazing to see that God the Holy Spirit uses the very same word for believers as Greek pagans used for their false gods. Now please turn with me to John 16 verse 33 and read what Jesus himself said about this. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Here Jesus said that he nikeo the world. He has overcome the world or the system of Satan that is on the earth. And it is this victory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here that is the foundation of our overcoming over in 1 John 5. So our overcoming is not something that originates with us. It is something that automatically flows out of a life that is totally submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and his victory, and then becomes ours. The Apostle Paul also used this word in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, which says, "But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." And it is this overwhelming conquering, not just conquering, but overwhelming conquering, that shows us that this is not a human manifestation of superior intellect or superior ability or superior attitude or superior willpower. But this overwhelming conquering is the direct result of you being so hidden in Christ, of you being so surrendered to God's will, of you so decreasing, of you so dying to self, of you so mortifying the deeds of your body, of you so yielding that you're out of the way and Jesus shines brightly. This phrase, overwhelmingly conquer, that Paul used here in Romans 8:37, is what is called an intensified compound form of the verb nikeo, which is hupernikeo, which refers to being absolutely victorious. And then look at how Paul describes this absolute victory in Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now here is the mystery to all of this. Notice the first four words in verse 38. For I am convinced. The word convinced comes from the Greek word that means to suffer until one is persuaded, to be induced to believe, to obey, to yield to what is being taught, to trust in something that has been proven. Paul says that he has become persuaded to believe that all of verses 38 and 39 were true. Or in other words, Paul has been induced to believe. He has suffered to the degree that he has been forced to acknowledge that believers overwhelmingly conquer in Jesus Christ. Now, on the surface, that almost seems like a contradiction. How can you suffer so much that you have become persuaded that we can overwhelmingly conquer? Doesn't the fact that we overwhelmingly conquer mean by default that we're not going to suffer? Well, no, it doesn't. And any teaching that says that believers are not supposed to suffer is twisting what the Bible teaches. Paul did not overwhelmingly conquer so that he would not suffer. On the contrary, this great apostle suffered so much that through his sufferings, he learned what true conquering was all about. Now, I realize that there is a very popular teaching out there that says that believers are not supposed to suffer at all. It goes something like this, that by virtue of the fact that we are believers and that we're filled with the Holy Spirit and God loves us, that we so overwhelmingly conquer everything so that we escape from our problems, our trials, our persecutions, disease, even death. Many people base their entire walk with God on the false notion that says that great and strong faith will cause them to get out of trouble, while weak faith or no faith causes them to remain in those troubles, which is just not true. The Bible does not teach that. For example, Hebrews 11, 32 through 35 teaches that God does move in great and supernatural acts of healing and miracles and glorious manifestations. There's no doubt about that at all. But Hebrews 11, 35b through 38 clearly says that God does not always move that way. You see, sometimes it brings God glory for his people to be healed and to escape trouble. But the Bible is equally clear that sometimes it brings God just as much glory for his people to suffer, to go through trials, to be persecuted and not be delivered, but remain faithful in that suffering. And the difference between who is delivered and who is not has absolutely nothing to do with how strong or how weak your faith is. It has to do with what God's will is. And our job, whether we are delivered or not, is to graciously submit to God's will with joy and to be faithful, trusting that God is working everything for the greater good. So this overwhelming conquering that Paul and Jesus and John are talking about is not the absence of trouble. It is not freedom from all harm. It is not that we always escape floods or hurricanes or persecution or even warts. This overcoming is a transcendent overcoming that supersedes the world, and that is more important than the temporary and earthly things. But it proves to us that God has saved us to the uttermost, and that the dominating power of sin has been broken forever. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.